The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Molly Dishner. It's Pledge Drive Week at KDLG, and your donations support this program and others. Find a link online to become a sustaining member of this station. Let's start with a marine weather forecast. For Bristol Bay tonight, variable wind less than 10 knots, seas at 2 feet, and patchy fog. Tomorrow, variable wind less than 10 knots, seas at 2 feet again. Tomorrow night, more of the same. From Port Hyden to Cape Serratref, tonight, southeast winds at 15 knots, stronger gusts from 25 knots out of bays and passes in the evening, seas at 4 feet, and some patchy fog. Tomorrow, southeast wind at 15 knots, seas at 4 feet. The bay-wide catch yesterday was 1.7 million fish, including a million in the Naknek-Quijack district, and some Westside fishermen are jumping ship.
We're going to go to Naknek and do battle with probably 800 to 1,000 boats, so...
That was Michael Neese on the fishing vessel Pandemonium. Coming up tonight, more from Westside fishermen, a chat with Igigikinugashik manager Paul Solomone, plus an update from Senator Lisa Murkowski on the J-1 visa program. First, let's check the numbers. The Port Moeller test boat was back in the water yesterday with its second best catch yet, with a replacement index of 80. The only day better was June 26th with a replacement index of 82. Still waiting on the word of how today went. Yesterday's bay-wide catch was 1.7 million fish, bringing the season total to 12.5 million. Total run estimated at almost 20 million fish. Naknek-Quijack had the largest harvest, million fish caught there, bringing the season total to about 3.3 million. Ugashik, 374,000, season total 2 million. Igigik, 308,000, season total 3.9 million. Nushagak catch, 94,000 yesterday, season total 3 million. Togiak, 10,000 reds yesterday, season total 57,000. Sockeye per delivery, still highest in Ugashik, where it was 1,104. Igigik, 501, Naknek-Quijack, 861, Nushagak, 166, and Togiak, 83. A look at the escapement counts. Quijack River is nearing its goal, 755,000 sockeye counted yesterday, season total 2.3 million, close to the adjusted goal of 2.35 million. Naknek River, 61,000 counted yesterday, 887,000 season total, just above the lower end of the goal of 800,000 fish. Igigik, 17,000 fish counted yesterday, 1.1 million fish total. Ugashik, 39,000 counted yesterday, 457,000 season total. At the Nushagak sonar, 3,300 kings counted yesterday, season total 87,000. And 45,000 reds there yesterday, season total 504,000. Wood River Tower, 57,000 sockeye counted yesterday, season total about 1 million, another 20,000 added by 6 a.m. today. Igushik, 17,000 reds yesterday, season total 180,000, 2,700 added this morning. Finally, in Togiak, 66 fish counted yesterday. And the boat counts. Naknek-Quijack, 657 permits, 552 boats. That's going up, 760 permits, 639 boats at 9 a.m. July 11th. Igigik, 358 permits, 295 boats. That's going up to 360 permits, 296 boats in 48 hours. Ugashik, 255 permits, 202 boats. That's increasing to 323 permits, 252 boats after the wait. Nushagak, 239 permits, 206 boats. Folks are leaving. It'll go down to 226 permits, 195 boats. And Togiak, 52 permits, 52 boats. If you have fish news, tips, ideas, or feedback, send it to me at fish@kdlg.org or call us here at the station anytime.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
Today, KDLG's Dave Benninger talked to Igigik and Ugashik manager Paul Solomon about the returns to his districts.
Paul, good to speak with you today. How are things in Igigik and Ugashik shaping up? We've had a pretty sustained amount of a pretty good harvest in both districts.
Yeah, the Igigik's looking like it's doing its usual thing that we expect right now. It's tapering off a little bit. There's probably still a little bit left. We'll see what that is yet, but we're not done with it, but it's definitely on the downhill side. Ugashik, we usually get a peak of fish right around now sometime, or a little bit of a bump right around now. It's been a pretty good shot. It's still, some of it looks like it's still there. So we're getting escapement out of it, so we're continuing to fish.
That's probably good news for the many number of boats and permits that are steaming quickly for Ugashik, which I think is based on the size of the deliveries that fishermen have been making there. How many folks do you expect in the next day or two to increase the fleet size?
Well, tomorrow's number is 202, and the day after that is 252. That's the number of boats.
What are you reading from these Port Moeller catches, Paul? It looks like they've got two sizable days of catches at Port Moeller, which some are now wondering if that means another tail to this run or what the case is. What's your take?
You know, I don't really have one on it this year. We've had expectations out of it that really haven't lived up to what we've been looking to see out of it this year, so I'm not really sure how to read this one.
Any updates on the size of the fish that are coming in, Paul? When we spoke with you early on in the Igigik season, or early on in the season, the Igigik fish had showed up a little bit small. We're hearing in the Nooshigak side that some of the fish have come in a little bit bigger in the last week. Are you seeing the same thing in Igigik-Ugashik?
Yeah, the escapement data hasn't come in from Ugashik yet, but Igigik certainly has some bigger fish in it. And one of the things I've been trying to do the last couple of days has been trying to get some of those fish up river. We were pretty successful at doing that. We're inside the minimum of our escapement goal right now. We now have passage under control. We dropped from about 60,000, actually more like 100,000 average over the last 5 days, down to under 20 this morning. So I'm pretty happy that it's slowed down. I'm trying to set it up so I have a little bit more room to let some fish in a day or two. But I can't, right now I need to kind of control passage a little bit more than we have been. So that's working well. Ugashik, there's still a fair amount of fish in transit in the river. We're looking for them to show up at the tower. They haven't yet. But from what I can see, the fish size has gotten a little bigger in both districts.
I guess last question for you would be, where are you sitting in escapement in terms of, have you waived any transfer times yet?
In Igigik, many people aren't aware that the goals went up over the winter. We did put it in our preseason outlook to give people a heads up, but I think a lot of folks missed it. The midpoint of Igigik is now 1.4 million fish, and we actually have to have that upriver before we can waive it. And right now, that's not looking terribly close to happening. Ugashik, it's 950. We have new goals there, too. It went up 100,000, so the trigger point for that is 950,000 fish. And there's some in transit. I'm not sure what the number is yet, but we might be close by the time those fish arrive at the tower. Still a couple of days away, though.
All right. Paul Solomon, manager for the Igigik and Ugashik districts based out of King Salmon. Thanks for this Thursday update, Paul. Good speaking with you.
You're welcome, Dave. Have a good day.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
Here on the west side, fishing has been up and down. Michael Neese on the fishing vessel Pandemonium says he's moving districts.
Well, we had 20 fish for opener yesterday, so, you know, it's not that tough to make that decision to move when you catch that kind of fish. 20 fish for a four-set opener. We think there's going to be some fish up there. It's going to be hard to catch them, but it's going to be a lot better than what we're doing here. It's been the whole season. I mean, I fished here for 15 years straight. I fished on the other side for 10 years straight before that. And, you know, it's just been one big scratch over here. I mean, a big delivery over here was 5, 6, maybe 10, 11,000 pounds, which is generally you get some big days and you can knock down 20,000 in two openers. But that's not happened this year and doesn't look like it's going to happen either.
Trigvi Hill, crew on the fishing vessel Darlene, says it's been an average season for their boat. But after 18 years away from the fishery, he was just glad to be back.
And so it's just wonderful to see all the people that I haven't seen in a number of years once again, and they're all still friends.
His favorite part?
I think when it blows 40 and the seas crest at about 12 feet and they run at about 7 feet, it's like going on a surfing safari. It's really fun. I hate roller coasters, but I love that ride.
For Caleb Dimitri, a new crew member from Idaho, it has been a rough season. He hopped on board a fishing vessel with a fisherman in Homer.
During those 2 weeks, as of Sunday, far as I know, we caught about 27,000 pounds. I heard that's not good.
He didn't get along great with another crew member, and his season came to an early end.
I was fishing with him for about 2 weeks, and then he told me Sunday that I wasn't going out with him again Monday.
KDLG has also been hearing about unworked processing employees. We'll have more on that in the days to come. If you want to share your story, reach me at fish@kdlg.org. A bill that could make it easier for seafood processors to find employees moved out of a Senate committee today. Senator Lisa Murkowski says J-1 visas have long been used by processors and others in America to get foreign employees when they can't hire locally or domestically.
Much as we would like, we simply aren't able to hire all Alaskans for the jobs in these seasonal work opportunities. And so we need to bring people in. And the J-1 visa program has allowed us to do that, allowed us to do it successfully, and at the same time has provided great benefit, many for these young people from Eastern European nations, from places all around the globe.
Murkowski says language extending the program was included in the 2016 State and Foreign Operations Spending Bill, which moved out of the Appropriations Committee today.
What we were able to include is an extension of this program that allows J-1 workers to come to work in the seafood processing industry.
The extension would be good through September 2016.
It's an extension of existing law, but as many in the region know, this is something that for the past couple years has been on again, off again, giving great uncertainty to our processors as to whether or not they're going to be able to hire sufficient people to work within their processing facilities.
Murkowski says she's still interested in a longer extension for the visa program. Back in a moment. Other fisheries news, in the lower 48, the drought is bad news for salmon. That's according to the Associated Press, which reported that a study by the Wild Fish Conservancy showed that out of a group of 54 rivers in Oregon, California, and Washington, three-quarters were warmer than 70 degrees, a temperature considered lethal for fish. That's the result of low flow because of low snowpack and high temperatures. Closer to home, in Cordova, the National Marine Fisheries Service and Cordova Fishermen United are offering a reward for information on dead Steller sea lions there. NIMS is putting up $2,500 and CFU are offering $5,000. NIMS was informed of several sea lion carcasses June 1. They appear to have been killed deliberately. And finally, in southeast Alaska, Thursday is the opening of the purse seine fishery at Amalga Harbor in Juneau. Fish and game biologist Dave Harris says he's expecting a good turnout for the opening.
My understanding is there's about 30 boats anchored on the set right now, and that's so I would assume there'll be at least that many. We have had as many as 100 boats participate in these fisheries in the past.
Captain Sig Mathiesen went all the way to Juneau from Petersburg on the marathon to fish for icicle seafoods.
Well, it would be lovely to go home with a load of fish, that's for sure, and that would be the ideal, but we're tempering our expectations because of what we're seeing in the waters here.
It's estimated that the commercial fleets could earn anywhere from 45 to 55 cents a pound for the chum in Juneau. Before we sign off, a quick look at the marine weather forecast. Bristol Bay tonight, variable wind less than 10 knots, seas at 2 feet, patchy fog. Tomorrow, variable wind less than 10 knots, seas 2 feet. And from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, tonight, southeast wind 15 knots, stronger gusts, 25 knots out of bays and passes in the evening, seas 4 feet, patchy fog. Tomorrow, southeast wind 15 knots, seas 4 feet. That's it for today's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. The show airs nightly at 6:30 p.m., replays at 10 and 2. Find a link to donate to KDLG along with the online post on our website. I'll be in Naknek tonight and tomorrow. Reach me at fish@kdlg.org. I'm Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produced the show. Please take a moment and become a sustaining member of KDLG Public Radio today. Your support keeps this and other programs on the air and online. See you tomorrow.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.